Few stories have dramatized the human side of the Second World War in Hawaii as well as Graham Salisbury's novel, Under the Blood Red Sun. It captures the moment when innocence was lost forever in Hawaii, the morning of the Pearl Harbor attack. The years that followed strained families and friendships, tested the bonds that had held society together in the islands. And the movie version of that popular book has been a long time coming. It's very much a made in Hawaii project, but it's here. And Tim Savage, the director, is with us this morning. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Historical fiction has a really important place in this, in the sense that it takes us in through important events through the eyes of a human being. In this case, a young boy, yeah?
That's right. And we thought it was really important that our young people would get to see the depiction of Pearl Harbor and the start of World War II and the internment camps and what different cultures went through here in Hawaii in a fiction, in a dramatic piece through a young boy's eyes, because I think they'll remember that. It'll have more of an impact on them. It'll be more of an experience that they won't forget in the future.
One of the really effective things, I think, is that the story is in the eyes of a boy who's, 13? He's just coming into his young manhood. So it's a time of life when you're starting to figure a lot out.
It is. If you've been around 13-year-olds, there's still this wonderful naivete about them. They're still trusting and loving and friendly. And then, you know, they begin to change at 14 and 15, and they become different people. They become adults at that point. So this age is really seminal, and it's really critical to the story that we're telling, because it is a coming of age, and he's facing things that adults would have to face, but through a child's eyes.
And he's facing his own identity as a Japanese American with Japanese parents and ties of loyalty to the culture and to the country.
That's right. So his family is from Japan. His mother and father are from Japan, and they hold very dear to things like honor and respect. And yet he's part of the American community here. He goes to Roosevelt, and his friends are locals, and they're Haoles. His best friend is a newly planted Haole from the mainland. And so he has all of these different influences in his life, and he's trying to remain true as much as he can to each of them.
And you know what's interesting, Tim, is that although these are conflicting influences, they're all legitimate.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially growing up here in Hawaii, we're always part of kind of a multicultural family.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's, you know, that's true for anywhere you are in the world. But we all know that, you know, we may be one way at home with our parents who were raised a certain way, and we're another, you know, we're slightly different at school with our buddies or at work. And so we're part of this multicultural society. And so I think that's something that we all understand.
And everybody wants to be true to who he is at the same time as we want to assimilate. And they're in contradiction.
And that's a big part of this story. And so you get to know Tomi, and you get to know his best friend, Billy, who is Caucasian from the mainland. And he has a group of buddies that he's, you know, they play baseball with and they go to school with, and they're just normal kids, you know, from the neighborhood, growing up here in Hawaii with their different cultural backgrounds. So there's a lot of humor that comes out of that, obviously. There's a lot of drama that comes out of that. But it's really the kind of seminal to the story of Under the Blood Red Sun, all of these different cultures and racial tolerance and the experience that happened when we weren't tolerant at one point in our history.
Because in this young man's family, there is still a serious allegiance to Japanese culture.
Again, the family has come to Hawaii from Japan, and they come with a mother, father, and a grandfather. So each of them trying to assimilate to a certain extent. But as we all know, and even in our own families, so the grandfather is very resolute in his devotion to Japan. And he'll be out, you know, in the yard waving the Japanese flag, singing a Japanese song.
Yeah. There's a great moment when the kid says, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Because Our Haole landlords are watching. They see this, and they're they know that there's a problem. They follow the news, and Japan is not our friend right now. There are some serious things going on, and this could bring us big danger. And of course, Grandpa doesn't understand that, and that causes tension outside of the family, for the family, and within the family as Tomy's trying his best to fit in.
And, you know, having that character waving the Japanese flag also kind of shows one of the ironies of the Second World War for the Japanese-American population, in the sense that the Japanese Empire went to war based on the ancient cultural principles. It was an honorable enterprise. The code of Bushido prevailed, and the grandfather would have to still have a strong allegiance to that, and yet that's now the enemy.
Yeah, it's really interesting because he would be kind of the samurai of this film, you know, standing up for what's right and doing what he feels is right. And this code of honor, which was ironclad in Japan and in Japanese culture, but all of a sudden becomes this source of huge shame.
Yeah,
so
just over like that.
It's not just Tomy who is experiencing this change and going through all of this, but all of the characters are trying to find their way through a whole new way of doing life because everything they knew has now changed.
And, you know, and that reversal comes so abruptly on a quiet Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, 7:40 a.m., most people still just kind of, you know, getting out of bed, and the Japanese fighter planes, the Zeros, come flying in. And nobody even knew what they were doing, why they were there, until they heard the bombs and saw the devastation in Pearl Harbor.
You know, there used to be a lot of people in Hawaii who had memories of that moment and even told stories of making eye contact with a young Japanese
man
in a plane.
Yeah, it's really interesting that we've shown a part of the film at a book and music festival, and I would say that the people who right now are the most interested in it are older. You know, we kind of thought that, well, it's a family film and it's required reading in a lot of
young
middle schools.
Novel,
so that was one of our target audiences. But it's the older population that seems very, very interested in this. And they're the ones stopping me daily saying, now, when again is it premiering and how can I see it? Because I think they feel very, very tied to this story.
Well, let's wrap it up by saying when it is premiering, Tim.
We're going to be showing this at the Pacific Aviation Museum on September 14th, so we're a little under a month away. And then there are a couple of other special premieres, one at the Pearl Harbor Memorial, and then one at the Honolulu Academy of Arts. So we have several very special events coming up, and we're excited to unveil this.
It's a very exciting thing. I really thank you for coming in, Tim.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tim Savage is the director of the new movie Under the Blood Red Sun, which premieres next month. And we'll have details at hpr2.org.